We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour of NFL Sunday brought to you by Greensite Services, New England's experts for hazardous waste cleanup.
Time now for NFL Sunday, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com, the New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
Halfway home here on this NFL Sunday. Patriots, Miami Dolphins at 4:25. Lots of scenarios that could really shake down throughout the NFL today, where the Patriots could play, hell, if it gets crazy, they could play the Ravens or the Raiders if it just happens to break that way. Joining us now on the Harbor One hotline of WEEI.com, it's our friend Andy Hart. And Andy joins us thanks to McFarland Energy, your Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractor, where they can very affordably heat your three-season room with a Mitsubishi ductless hyperheat unit. Visit McFarlandEnergy.com. Andy Hart, I know that there have been those, like, you know, our mutual duplicitous friend Mike Giardi of NFL Network and others, who have said that the Patriots are going to treat this like a playoff game. Hart, are you buying that?
I'm not totally, because I thought Bill was a little wishy-washy, Bill Belichick, this week when he was asked a couple different times about how they would approach the week. And on Wednesday in particular, I thought for sure the question would get shot down with sort of that arrogant, just like we do any other week, right? We're going to win a football game. That's what we do. We're professionals. But like, and no, it was, well, we need to keep things on track and keep working through the practice and the energy and the emotion during the week toward the game. And that's when we're at our best. And I wonder, the way he left that door open, if there is any room for vagaries. And it may not be dramatic. I mean, last night we had a game, right, that was dramatic. The Eagles didn't play for anything other than a couple meaningless franchise records, and the Cowboys were out there with Dak slinging it until late in the game, putting up 50. So it was obvious the way those two, I think Bill might be in the middle somewhere. You know, I don't even know, you know, is the Hightower thing, you know, would he have played if this were a playoff game? Would Kyle Duggar have played if this were a playoff game? And, you know, how will they use Damian Harris, a guy who's nursing a hamstring injury? Because I certainly think you want Damian Harris at his full go to open the postseason. So I think it's going to be hard to interpret. I don't think they're going to go all in, but I don't think it's going to be a scenario where you're stunned and, oh my God, Brian Hoyer's starting. I think they may be cautious with some guys that need some caution.
Does anything that happens today outside of injury impact what you think could happen next week?
I think they need to play well. You know, this is a team that if they don't play well today, if they have a sort of typical Miami game where maybe it's, you know, they look like they're out of gas, they look like they're playing in the heat and fatigued, and all of a sudden, maybe they win, but it's, you know, kind of ugly, 17-13, and you turn it over, but you overcome the turnovers. I think that's a bad sign, because that's three of the last four games heading into the postseason where you didn't play well, where you made mistakes, where you, you know, either lost the game or laid the foundation for what could have been a loss. And really the only good game is against a non-competitive, COVID-riddled, coachless debacle of a football organization in the Jaguars. So, yeah, if they don't play well today, I think it's a bad sign heading into the postseason. Now, if they play great, I'm not going to say, oh, my God, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. This is the greatest team ever. But I'm with some of the players. I do think the players were more consistent than Bill this week, talking about wanting to play well, wanting to have some momentum. I think this team needs that because this is not a, you know, veteran Brady Gronk type team where, oh, we'll just flip that switch on in the postseason. I think this team needs the momentum. And I'm a believer in, I heard Teddy Bruschi talking about it this morning. He's a believer in playing well and momentum hitting the postseason. I think this team needs that as much as any team in the league.
Yeah, you're speaking of momentum, just, you know, you mentioned Duggar. So Duggar's going to be out. Miles Bryant's got COVID. Adrian Phillips has got a knee, and he's limited. I mean, just with that alone, I'm starting to think, I mean, it's challenging. Like, so I always wonder, like, is that even – does that kind of, you know, fit into their – play into their plans as far as maybe trying to manipulate who they play? Or do they not, is it going to come to the point where they won't even have a say based on how things play out before they even play their game at 425?
Yeah, I think there are too many scenarios that are up in the air, including the Bills, which will be playing at 425 at the same time. So you don't know how that game's going to play out. Now, maybe that one declares itself early and you can make some sort of a halftime assessment one way or the other. You know, the Bills are killing the Jets or the Jets are pulling the – whatever. I just think they need to control what they can control. And you're right, the injuries are a concern. Now, you can look at that two ways. It could be an opportunity. Maybe Sean Wade finally gets forced out there and maybe you find an extra defensive back because, you know, they had nobody behind Miles Bryant. We saw that against the Bills a couple weeks ago. They're picking on Miles Bryant. And it almost looked as if Miles Bryant was looking to tap out. Like, coach, why don't you come get me? I can't really do this anymore. And they didn't have anybody. So maybe you get a Sean Wade or a Jawan Williams performance here because of the lack of depth that gives you something to turn to in the postseason, even in a matchup maybe with the Bills in the postseason. But I think too much is up in the air for them to really, you know, pick their opponent. I know everybody points to that Matt Castle game against the Niners. I don't think this is that situation. I think they need to just play this however they want to for their own purposes, not so much for setting up seeding or anything like that.
If you're Miami and Brian Flores, what's your view going into this game? Do you throw the kitchen sink? Do you empty the tank? Or do you just try to get the hell out of Dodge with everybody upright and get ready for 22?
Well, if I'm Flores, I'm throwing the kitchen sink. I'm looking to end this season with a little momentum. This was a really strange year, obviously, for them with 7-game losing streak, 7-game winning streak. They kind of got to where we expected they would be as a borderline playoff team, but they took a really weird route to get there. And, you know, they have a lot of questions going into the offseason. Certainly the quarterback may not be the quarterback. You know, the Deshaun Watson rumors and speculation is going to run rampant, I think, again this offseason until something happens with him in Houston. If I'm Miami and if I'm Brian Flores, you know, I want to get back to where there was some positive momentum and belief that, yeah, I'm a pretty good coach and I'm building something pretty good here in Miami, because depending on which part of the season you look at, you can say, yeah, the second half of the season, he's building something nice. But first half of the season, what the hell happened there? I would certainly be looking to pull off the upset, try to make things difficult on the Patriots and feel good about ourselves and our organization heading into the offseason.
Of the two most likely playoff opponents, who do you think the Patriots have a better chance of beating, Cincinnati or Buffalo?
Buffalo. And I know this has been a widely debated, and some people are on either sides of it very passionately. I'm very passionately on, give me the Bills. You know, I think the greatest advantage the Patriots have at this point is still Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick against a team that he's already played twice, has knowledge of, Josh Allen, the matchup with Sean McDermott, the pressure of the postseason. I think there's a lot of reasons, the weather potential in Buffalo. I think there's a lot of reasons why you'd want to play the Bills. And maybe I'm just being, you know, swayed by recency bias and what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have done lately, but that looks like a Bengals team to me. I don't care that they've sucked for 30 years. The one that's actually on the field right now looks like a team to me that could spread the Patriots out and embarrass them. We're talking about Miles Bryant and some of these defensive backs. I don't like those matchups with Higgins and Boyd and, you know, Mixon out of the backfield. We've seen how they've struggled with linebackers, you know, on linebackers, Patriots coverage this year. I think Joe Burrow is building something special in Cincinnati. I got into an argument yesterday on our station with a caller who's like, oh, the Bengals have sucked since 19. They're the Bungles. I don't really understand what that has to do with anything when they're ridiculously talented and they just put up like 1,000 yards passing in their last two games played. So I think that's a really bad matchup for the Patriots. And I also don't know about Zach Taylor. Maybe he falls on his face. Maybe he doesn't. I know Sean McDermott is capable of falling on his face.
So we were just having a head coaching discussion now that Vic Fangio is out of Denver. You got two openings now. Your thoughts on Gerard Mayo being a legitimate head coaching candidate this year?
I love it. I'm a big fan of Gerard's, have been since back when he was a player. You know, talk about, and I know I'm not breaking any news here, but just the man commands a room. He's a leader, the respect. And, you know, in this age where, and I know, I don't know if you guys saw the clip, Dean Pease kind of criticizing people going up the ladder really quickly and how he really had to coach high school football, college football, work his way up, didn't get to the NFL till he was in his 50s or whatever. I agree with him in one sense, but the fast track is very real. The fast track in the NFL is very real. We've seen it in recent years where, you know, Brandon Staley, Sirianni, all these guys that go from low-level assistants to head coaches, and head coaches that are finding success, that are leading teams to the playoffs, playoffs contenders. So I don't see any reason why that couldn't be Gerard Mayo, who's essentially a position coach, hasn't been a coordinator, has only been here a couple of years. But more and more, I think people are picking coaches based on the interview or the overall leadership more so than just pure schemes and what did this guy do as a play caller for this team. I think that's being looked at as less and less valuable. And Gerard Mayo, to me, oozes leadership, management. I even think his experiences working in the business world might benefit him because of these are businesses now. Like, it's not just a football team. It's not just win and lose. It's a corporation, and there is marketing and all these other crap things that as a head coach you still have to deal with. And I think his experiences working in the business world when his career ended might be of value there. Now, I think he would need to pair himself with pretty good coordinators. I don't know that you want Gerard Mayo as your head coach and two young coordinators, you know, on the field with him. But if he can put together a nice staff, I think his leadership and ability to get players to buy into who he is and what he's selling, I think he has that. And you look in Denver, that's a defense team. I think that would be a good fit for him there, a team that has a strong defense, has played well defensively the last few years for Fangio. I think the biggest issue they have is finding a quarterback. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a head coach sooner rather than later in the NFL based on everything everybody talks about. And I think he's got a shot to be successful because that's what modern NFL is. It's fast-track young coaches.
Latest intel is that Chicago is going to fire Matt Nagy. That's according to Peter Schrager. Also, the reports are that Minnesota is going to move on from Mike Zimmer. Hard, I know we only got about a minute. Why didn't these happen like a week ago so these teams can start talking to other coaches? It's really interesting that everybody waited until the end of the season.
It is, and I've never understood this. You know, you hear owners, oh, they're going to make the decision after week 18. Well, if you're thinking about it, like, it's like retirement. If you're thinking about retired, you're already retired. And if you're thinking about getting rid of your coach, he's not your coach.
I think about
move
it every
on.
Day.
So, yeah, I don't really understand. I think then they rush to hire. Oh, I got to scramble to get this guy. No. This is the most important or one of the two most important decisions you're going to make with your franchise. Don't rush it. Don't make it, you know, after one game of a loss or a bad performance. This is a big picture decision. So, yeah, the way these teams make these decisions, I'll never understand, but that's also why some of these teams are generally losing, you know, most of their games every season and looking for a new coach every 2 to 3 years.
Andy Hart, you could read him at WEEI.com. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Thank you, Hart. Enjoy the games today. We'll catch you during the week.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
All right, friend, there we go. Yeah, so that is the very latest. So apparently the news, I thought these would start a week ago. I really did. Zimmer and start punting on these guys. And now with the end of the regular season, it looks like there are more firings to be had. Fourier's not fired. He's only stepping away to go to TV. Actually, it's the other way around. He's going to be greedy and get another check. Nice. While this show is going on.
Multiple jobs.
Listen, double dipping.
I don't hate that. As I've said, I'm a greedy.
You should talk.
I'm a greedy capitalist just like everybody else. So I'm with you, and Fourier will be back all with us at noon. Keith and I are getting into not only what happened yesterday, the inactives for the 11:30 games, and hopefully you're not playing an important fantasy game this week. As in, if your championship game is this week, you're in a flawed league. That said, let's get the Shime. He's ready to trend.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
Holy cow, do we have a lot to get to here on this NFL Sunday. Coming up, we will get to, well, it's interesting because in 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk about who's going to be playing golf on Tuesday. And, well, according to Peter Schrager of Fox and others, Chicago is finally going to make the move on Matt Nagy. Minnesota is going to make the move on Mike Zimmer, supposedly. Now, with Chicago, I mean, they're gonna do what the Jets did. They're going to watch other organizations and how they do things and the way they screw it up. You had a GM there in Ryan Pace who hired Matt Nagy. They're now going to get rid of Matt Nagy. The word on the street, or at least on the interwebs, Keith, is that Ryan Pace is going to get to keep his job. So he's going to bring in a coach, but the GM might be one step away from being fired. So
coach needs to basically save the GM's job.
That's exactly right. And if he doesn't, the GM gets fired. A new GM comes in who inherits a coach.
Doesn't want the coach.
What are you doing
it's
here?
It's just a vicious cycle.
You
got to
broom it, don't you?
It's a vicious cycle. And so right now, before week 18 is even complete, we have five openings. Mm-hmm. And it's relevant for a number of reasons. One, obviously, Josh McDaniels and Gerard Mayo, whether you like it or not, Gresh, is going to be a candidate.
No, I know.
So these two guys are going to at least get interviews. They're at least going to be in the discussion. And there's a few more that are probably going to happen, too. But
and it feels like McDaniels is closer maybe to getting a job, whereas, and I hate that this is a part of the process, but it feels like Gerard Mayo might get some interviews. And then it'll be... Okay, he interviewed.
Well, he interviewed for 3 years.
It's like building the resume thing, right?
You got to play the game, I guess, in that regard.
It's like Eric Bieniemy in a way.
It is a lot. And again, another guy who really his name has not popped up much at all this year.
People are more buzz about McDaniels than there are Bieniemy at this point.
It's
but anyway.
But so you have Vikings, Bears, Jaguars, Raiders, Broncos, like in some order. And I think what you're doing is, again, we're watching Mac Jones perform well in the best place for him. So Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, right out of the chute, are going to have two head coaches in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in Lawrence's case, really, if you count the interim, he's going to have three in 2 years.
That's right.
Which is kind of like the Baker Mayfield start to his career model. It was new coach, new coordinator, interim guy, coordinator. Oh, this guy kind of works with you. He gets promoted. Oh, he sucks. He's gone. That is a tough thing. It's one thing, I think, for a young quarterback to figure it out and take his lumps and get better as it goes on.
Yes.
But when you're also changing coaches and changing coordinators, that's different. Because, all right, you went 4-12, but you learned from your mistakes. Next year, maybe you go 8-8. It's like, no, now you got to maybe relearn a whole new system. Not relearn. You have to learn a whole new thing. And, man, that might set those guys back even more, especially if those two teams don't get the right guy.
Well, that's why, like in Jacksonville, that's a part of the reason that I think Bill O'Brien, who is apparently going to interview on Tuesday in Jacksonville after Alabama plays the national championship game on Monday night.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep mentioning Doug Peterson, because for as much as it went sideways in Philadelphia there towards the end, that guy has
won a Super Bowl.
He has run NFL offenses.
Won a Super Bowl.
And to your point on the Super Bowl, he did it with the other guy. He didn't do it with the guy that they brought in to do it with. He kind of did it with the other guy. And that's why I wonder if for someone, and by the way, I would not rule out someone like if they're going to keep the GM, then maybe a guy like Doug Peterson might be in play in Chicago, because to your point, they've got those crown jewels, or at least they think they've got those jewels in the quarterback. So bring in somebody that can, you know, do something with it. And it's that second time around. Like, you're right. He walks in the room and he's got a Super Bowl ring on that, whether people loved him or not, he did earn as a head coach.
Yeah, and you suddenly are on a very short list of active coaches with a Super Bowl win. Like, there's not a ton of them that are out there.
Look in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think there's only like seven in the league right now who have maybe won a championship, or eight. And like Tomlin and Harbaugh, Belichick, Pete Carroll.
Arians just won it last year.
Arians. You have Andy Reid.
Mike McCarthy.
That's seven.
That might be it.
That might be it in terms of current in the league right now.
That
I'm pretty sure.
Sounds like it's probably it. And then even a guy like Pete Carroll might be done. Bruce Arians is only he's super old. Like, a lot of the guys you named on that list are old.
Gruden is not coming back, given what's going on, right? Because you think of the guys who are on the sidelines, like Bill Cowher ain't never coming back.
No.
Brian Billick's never getting another job. There are a lot of head coaches out there that and have that kind of credibility.
He's got a leg up on it. And it'll just be interesting to see, because I think the approach will be different for all of these teams, because Denver has no quarterback. Minnesota and the Raiders have a guy that's pretty good. Not elite, not bad, but Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr, I think, like, that's not the first thing you do. And then the other two teams have two of the top, what, 11 picks in the, or 10 picks in the draft.
So let's work through this for a moment here, right? Because whether it's McDaniels or Mayo, we know they're both going to get some run, right? If you're Minnesota, is Josh McDaniels of interest? Considering what you mentioned, a lot of it's in place.
No.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I don't think McDaniels would be for me. And again, I know they just went from a defensive guy, but their defense the last 2 years has been atrocious.
It has not been good.
And it seems like when healthy, Cousins, Cook, Thielen, Jefferson, probably fine. Like, what is Josh McDaniels going to really do to boost those guys? He can't make sure they're healthy. Like, those guys on the field, not bad. They can score. They're pretty effective. If their defense was even league average the last 2 years, they might have been a playoff team.
So you're saying they need Matt Patricia?
They need Matt Patricia. That's the obvious. That's the obvious. But no, I mean, so I know a lot of times teams, you can go through it when they go from a defensive coach, they flip to an offensive coach, and then they go back to the defensive coach.
Or Pete Carroll to Parcells, let's go from a hard ass to a player's coach.
But that feels like the perfect spot for someone like Leslie Frazier. First time job, defensive minded guy.
Oh my God.
Or they make a hard push. I mean, does Todd Bowles, I know it was a mess in the Jets, but after going to Tampa, and you give the defense a ton of credit for how they won the Super Bowl a year ago, does he get a little bit of run?
I could buy Bowles because it's a second chance. Yeah. I think if they just did Leslie Frazier, they just did that with Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
First time guy, getting his chance,
I think
D-coordinator.
If you are going to go defense, you got to go young gun. Because Zimmer was the career defensive coordinator. He was old when you got him. He probably lasted even longer than you thought.
You got to go based on age. Staley or McDermott type situation where you went with defensive guys.
I think you go young. And then you start to look at the list of candidates and just the defensive guys. Mayo is going to be one of those younger type of, you know, possibilities.
So in terms of zigging and zagging there, right?
Yeah.
Like if you look in the AFC, I would argue you have three, if not four, of the head coaches that are defensive minded. I don't know where if you put Vrabel as a defensive minded guy or
not. Of course. Yeah, of course.
Vrabel, Belichick, McDermott, Staley, all defensive guys. So there are more defensive head coaches in the AFC in terms of the playoff structure than in the NFC, which makes you wonder. Because if you look at it right now, it's LaFleur in Green Bay. You got McVay with the Rams. You got Arians. You got, as you mentioned,
Cliff
McCarthy.
Kingsbury.
You got Kingsbury. You have Kyle Shanahan, offensive guy.
Right.
And in Philadelphia,
you have Nick
Sirianni. I know. What is McCarthy?
What does he get credit for?
He's more
there?
Of a figurehead.
Yeah,
he's that guy that was described
coach.
Earlier.
Yeah.
He's just coach.
Yeah, so that was all offense. And then AFC, it's split, right? Because if you are going to include Andy Reid, if you're going to include Zach Taylor – and Frank Reich, like that's
a thing. So if you're in the NFC, do you think, all right, everybody's going one way, Why don't I maybe go the other? I don't know. It's just it's interesting food for thought. And then Chicago. See, I think Chicago is going to be – Chicago and Jacksonville, as you mentioned, they're going to be a little paralyzed because they have their quarterback.
They do.
So in a way, you're looking for a head coach that says, I can do something. The selling point for the head coach in those markets will be what they can do with the quarterback, not how can I make the team better, at least
no, it's
with those owners.
And it should be. And if either one of them goes defense, you're going to be like, what are you doing? Like, I think those guys have to go offense because their whole franchise for the next 10 years is really determined by those two guys. And because, again, even though they both are coming off really bad years,
yep.
right? Lawrence and Fields look bad. If I said you have Trevor Lawrence or the number one pick in this year's draft or Justin Fields or the number one pick in this year's draft, I would still rather have Lawrence or Fields. Because, first of all, the number one pick in this year's draft will not and should not be a quarterback.
Nope, it'll be a defensive end.
Yeah, so, like, I'll give you any quarterback in this draft or Fields or Lawrence. And I know you're like, wow, Fields.
You would take Fields or Lawrence.
Yep, you would.
You'd
say,
you
know. And as a coach, you'd have to say, I got enough faith in myself to be able to turn those guys around and figure it out. And that's why I think Brian Daboll should be a pretty serious candidate in both those places. I don't know. His name hasn't really come up, but it should be because he's the one guy. He's like, I didn't have a ready-made quarterback. This guy needed to develop.
That's
and now
the big
look
thing.
At him.
And that is the example of the, you know, like you look at Josh Allen. Year one, it wasn't great. Year mm-hmm. two, it wasn't much better. Year three started to get good. Year four, he blew up into a potential MVP candidate.
Right.
And then this year, he's come back down to earth a little bit, but still overall has had a very good season. And will we get a surprise? Is there a surprise firing to come? Somewhere.
Yes. Has to be. No, I don't know. Again, that's what makes it a surprise, Gresh. I don't know which one it is.
Well,
because these are all the ones we predicted on Friday.
Would you consider Joe Judge a surprise?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Fair enough.
I think that's the other one, right? Because on Friday, we were trying to say, all right, when we come back on Gresh and Keefe on Monday, what are going to be the vacancies? We already knew two. We assumed Bears. We thought Vikings were in play. And we're like, Broncos. I think Giants, that's six. Those would be the ones that I think would be considered not surprising, because if you go with any of these other one and duns, like I don't think the Jets are gonna, they're not gonna do that.
Is Pete Carroll a surprise?
So yes,
yeah,
I think
that's
it
the
is.
Thing.
I think it is just because he's been there so long, and it's one of those where even though they went 6-10, Wilson missed a bunch of time, and you're like, to me in my mind, it's more likely they bring him back. Now it's not 100% to 0%. It's more like, you know, 60-40.
Do you think there's a chance they fire him?
I don't know what the wording's going to be.
Well, that's
it's just
I mean,
a matter of
or
like
is
he's
it
just
a
gone.
Mutual?
I mean, part of the way is
right.
Hey,
Pete's going to retire, kind
right.
of thing.
But it's like one of those things where you know their boss calls him into the office and then they leave and it's mutual. But like, who made the meeting? Like, who
right.
set up the meeting with that result in mind? So yeah, that's a good one. I could see him moving on into whatever role he ends up having, but. Like, I think Matt Rhule, even though I don't think he's great, he'll probably stick another year in Carolina. Ron Rivera's not going anywhere in Washington.
You wouldn't think so, but
they apparently are bringing Culley back for one more year, which just seems like a waste of time. A real waste of time, because you're going to have a developmental year next year. They're probably going to trade Watson, and they'll have somebody. Whether it's just Davis Mills or another guy as their starting quarterback, it's only a matter of time until you get somebody else, so why delay the process? But whatever, I don't know. If that's what the Texans want to do, God bless
them. Well, and
but
you know what it
stick.
Is? That Watson trade has probably held up maybe making a move on him, because right now, of all the jobs that we named, if Houston came open and you knew Watson was gone, isn't that the least attractive job on the market?
Houston Yeah, probably is.
Because with Jacksonville and Chicago, you at least can sell yourself on a quarterback, right?
Yes.
If you're the
yes.
Raiders,
yes.
you can say, we're not far off from a playoff team
right now.
They might
even be a playoff team.
Does that guy Bisaccia get the job if they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to be a good candidate just for taking on what he did and getting there. But I bet they could still do better. And Broncos-Vikings really aren't that bad when you just look at roster. Like, the worst roster is clearly the Jaguars. But
no doubt.
You got Trevor Lawrence, and maybe you can sell yourself a little bit of hope there.
Jaguars and Chicago would be the two rosters that you look at and be like, okay, the cupboard's a little bare here.
It's funny because usually the worst teams in the league get their new coaches, but the worst teams got new coaches last year, and then they were worse again this year. Like,
yeah.
Robert Saleh, Dan Campbell, David Culley, these guys all had terrible teams. But they're like, well, we just hired him, so let's run it back again. And then, because usually there's not as many teams that close to 500 in the Raiders' case, a winning record that become available. So it'll be interesting to see, like, does McDaniels look at any of these lists? And again, McDaniels and Mayo have to look at these opportunities very differently. McDaniels, like, if this one doesn't work, that's it.
Yep.
Whereas Mayo's like, I can go, still young, get that experience, and find another job somewhere else. Do any of them jump out as great opportunities? And if you're McDaniels, is there any that's just, obviously Broncos is a non-starter for him, but the other four, is he like, I don't even want to bother, or are they all somewhat intriguing?
Yeah, like the Minnesota one is intriguing only from the standpoint of they have, and again, I'm not in love with the quarterback, but they've at least got functional veteran quarterback, good running back in Cook, great receiver in Jefferson.
Well, what I like about that job too is there's a decent chance, a real decent chance, Aaron Rodgers isn't on the Packers.
There you go.
The Bears are rebuilding and the Lions are trash. The Vikings could very well be, with a rookie head coach or a new head coach, whatever, the favorite to win the division.
10-7 win that division maybe next year.
Yeah.
Pull Cincinnati.
Because if Rodgers is gone and it's Jordan Love, what's their record going
to
be?
They're an average football. So to me, they automatically become 8-9, 9-8, something like that.
That's a sneaky, like, good job maybe all of a sudden.
I kind of agree with you. And again, the Wilfs, I think, are committed. Plus, you know, the whole state of Minnesota, and like they got money for their big facility that they built. So I think there might be some pressure from a community standpoint.
Yeah, I would rank
that
as the best
job. Hey, we invested in you. You better go win. I'm just trying to look and see who could be the, like, who could be the real, that one where we'd be like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. I think I'm kind of with you. Like, none of the coaches on the playoff teams, I don't think, are going to get fired.
No, even with a one and done, I would say no.
I would say that if Buffalo's one and done, believe it or not, there might be a chance that Daboll or somebody on the coaching staff gets sent out the door just to kind of shake it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, McDermott was kind of pissy with Daboll after Patriots game one.
If the Bucs win again, it's a big if. Does Bruce Arians just say, you know what, I'm not going to fire him, but does he retire?
It's great you say that, because I think Todd Bowles got an extension where he's one of the higher paid coordinators, and it was kind of like the seat is yours whenever Bruce vacates it.
And then I could see Leftwich getting the Jaguars job.
Now, that is something, too, that would be very interesting because of the whole quarterback connection there. But Bowles, you know, it's funny you say that. I know Tampa's going to go, at least you think Tampa's going to go on a run. Todd Bowles might be a better candidate for some people than we think. It seems like a lot of players around the league really respect that guy. And again, like, you're judging him on being the head coach of the Jets. That's
now,
a sliding scale there.
I don't think it'll happen. And again, there's excuses and what they just did in the draft. It won't happen. But everybody thinks Kyle Shanahan is the greatest young head coach in the history of football. If they lose and the Saints win today.
Chance.
He's made the playoffs once in 5 years.
Total chance.
I don't know. But I wonder if the Trey Lance move, Lynch, Shanahan are safer. They're like, all right, we just traded all our picks. We just moved up to get this guy. And it was sort of in and out of the lineup, mostly Jimmy, but some Trey. You can't punt on him, I don't think, without seeing the Trey Lance experience really play out. But I want, like, his record isn't as good as sort of his clout is around the league.
Well, I can't figure San Francisco out. All right. If you supposedly got this Das Wunderkind for 3 first round picks, why ain't he playing today? Why? Like, that's the thing. Like, here's the guy who hung the moon. Here's the next guy. 3 first round picks. Nothing. He's not starting. They hate Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
They go and get the guy, and then you're starting him in what?
Yeah, that was a mess.
Like, didn't you go get him?
That was a real
mess. What are we doing here?
Now, again, they win. They're 10-7. They make the playoffs, and things they look a lot different than if you're 9-8 and you miss.
Imagine if they back in. Say they back in.
Oh, that's true. They could lose, and the Saints could lose, and they're still in. Right.
And then it's like, oh, you play Garoppolo, and like that. You're right. There's a scenario there where in San Francisco,
something's there. Because 5 years is a nice sample. Like, that's a lot of time. You're not giving up on the guy early or anything like that. And he could be like, oh, I had a lot of injuries, and I took over a mess. Like, okay, all right, whatever. But you look at all those other guys, again, the young gun guys, they're all recently a lot better. The Zach Taylors, the Matt LaFleurs, the Sean McVays, and the Cliff Kingsburys have all been better than Shanahan recently.
Plus, if Shanahan did really want if we are to believe what was out there, if he really wanted Mack and then they ended up going to Lance, like it makes you wonder if within that organization there's a little bit of the like out of the corner of the eye from Shanahan. I told you, you know what I mean? Or, hey, we can't start this guy right now. But, and you're right, there's something weird there. By the way, it's time for the NFL Injury Update, sponsored by the Ketchus Law Group. With offices across New England, Ketchus Law Group's won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986. At Ketchus, you pay nothing unless they win. Injured, get a free legal evaluation, KetchusLaw.com or 508-321-7000. I know we've already got two games in the books. Kansas City beat Denver. Dallas beat Philadelphia. The Patriots inactives aren't going to come out until about 3:15. But we know no Kyle Duggar, no Dante Hightower.
Yeah, those guys are out. And I'll tell you, some of the other guys who are questionable, I'd have no problem with them sitting out as well. So we'll find out probably around 3 o'clock or so today. We already knew no Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon for the Bengals. They also will be without T. Higgins. So
Jamar Chase is active today.
Yeah, though. Chase is in, but I can't imagine how long he plays. Seems kind of dumb to play.
What a pad
those rookie of the year stats.
Maybe. Yep, get a few more numbers. Actually, as a brief aside, now that I have you here.
Yeah.
Talking about single season records, courtesy of Field Yates, he tweeted this out. And yes, obviously a 17-game season, but potential records that could happen today? Cooper Kupp needs 12 catches and 136 yards.
Okay.
Seems a little stiff. I don't know if he's going to get that.
In a final game, it's a little tough.
TJ Watt needs 1.5 sacks. Definitely possible. And that game means a lot.
Yes.
So I could see that one happening. Jalen Waddle in the game this afternoon with the Pats needs just 3 catches for the rookie record. And Kyle Pitts needs 59 yards for the rookie tight end record.
And there's a good chance Pitts is inactive after suffering an injury last week as well.
And he will not get the record.
Holy cow. Yeah. I mean, this is why you can't play fantasy this week.
No. And most people don't. Although we have a perfect lineup out there, so good luck
to you. Well, that is true. There is the daily fantasy. There definitely is that. Are certain former Patriot coaches maybe about to walk back through the door? And I'm looking at you, Bill O'Brien, because I think I have a comment that I can make to Rich Keefe that's going to make him, well, maybe want to throw up all over his shoes. That's next. This is NFL Sunday.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
Patriots, Dolphins, 425. Bills, Jets, 425. Bills lose, Patriots win. Patriots win the division. Bills win, Patriots win. Bills win the division. Bills win, Patriots lose. Bills win the division.
Got it.
Not hard to figure out. However, some of the playoff scenarios, you will give yourself a headache in trying to figure some of these out. And it is most likely going to be Buffalo or Cincinnati based on how everything goes today.
Right.
However.
But everything's on the table.
If Josh McDaniels gets a head coaching job.
All right.
Who is the next offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, and how quickly will it be Bill O'Brien?
Well, first of all, I don't think it will be Bill O'Brien, only because I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job, but I think he's going to have other opportunities at other places and maybe be like, if I'm an offensive coordinator somewhere else besides doing it with Bill Belichick. I know the Tom Brady thing is gone, like that part of like, of course you're good, you had Tom Brady, but it's still back with Bill. Bill Belichick, I mean, I still think for O'Brien, it probably makes the resume look a little bit better, and you're more likely to grab a head coaching job the next year if you go somewhere else.
Well,
because don't you think like he could end up in Carolina with Matt Rhule or something like that?
And that's the thing is, do you want to go be an offensive coordinator for a coach
for Bill,
who might be toast in a year? That's the thing. If you go to Carolina, if you're Bill O'Brien.
Oh, then just take his job?
Well, if you're you Bill O'Brien. Oh, no, he's not. The word is that if Bill O'Brien goes to Carolina, it's as the offensive coordinator under Matt Rhule.
Right, but
now,
you do
maybe
really well.
Maybe you're the guy. Yeah. But do you want to be the guy in waiting there?
Depends on who the quarterback is.
Well, there you go.
That's obviously the number one question.
And what's the likelihood that they're going to find a real answer long term, so to speak.
Very likely.
Whereas apparently Bill O'Brien's going to interview for the head coaching job in Jacksonville. He's in it for offensive coordinator in Carolina. Or if McDaniels goes, then because I can't figure out who the next OC would be if Josh leaves.
First of all, there won't be an OC. there'll be a guy who does the duties of an OC, but his title won't be offensive coordinator.
Really?
They don't even have a defensive coordinator this year.
Well,
still.
But if it's a vet, but if it's a like a vested veteran guy, you know what I
but
mean?
But the only ones you can really think of, they've only had three offensive coordinators under Belichick, right? Weiss, McDaniels, and O'Brien.
Then
it went back to McDaniels.
Yep. Yeah, because it went back to Josh, right.
So those guys would all have that
like
title.
When Josh came back, I would assume it'd be the same for Bill O'Brien.
It would
if
be
he
for
came
Bill.
Back, yeah, they yeah. would make him the OC. It wouldn't be, you got to wait a year as the pseudo QB coach, and then we'll move you up.
No, but that's a good question because, like, who's really the next guy in line? Like, I don't know if you really have one. So you either got to go real outside the box thinking or promote somebody who we don't think is really ready. It's sort of like when Matt Patricia, Brian Flores left in back-to-back years, and then you were left with Bill's kid and Gerard Mayo year one on the staff.
Bill calling it, yeah. Showing them what to do, and then going from there. Think, that's the way I kind of
I think
it.
That's kind of what the offense would look like next year.
And that's the – because the reason I keep bringing up Bill O'Brien is that he went to Alabama this year. Mm-hmm. So he got to, I think, understand a little bit sort of how things work there, how similar it is to New England. Do I think Bill O'Brien wants to be a head coach again? Of course he does.
Probably.
However, he's also at that point, too, to where he's older than McDaniels. And he did have that run in Houston to where varying degrees of success that he can point to and say, hey, I deserve another job. I kind of look at it as Bill O'Brien might not be great.
No.
But considering the mix of coaches that are out there and the unique situations with quarterbacks as well, that's why I think guys like him and Doug Peterson are at least intriguing to start.
Speaking of his time in Houston, if he joins the Carolina staff,
yep.
They are officially giving up hope on Deshaun Watson.
I kind of agree.
Because that just would signal, all right, they're not answering our calls or they don't like what we're doing. Or Watson might veto a trade to Carolina anyway. But if they hired Bill O'Brien, he certainly would veto a trade there.
I completely agree. So. That's a very good point to slide in there because those two guys don't mesh.
And same with, like, Denver. If Denver has any hope at all at bringing in Deshaun Watson, and that'd be a good spot for him. Now, I don't know if he'd want to play there, but that'd be a good spot for him. Then they can't even interview Bill O'Brien. Otherwise, Deshaun would be like, what? You're interested in him? Forget
Imagine
it.
Being in the spot where you're like Denver and you let go a head coach and you're going to try to hire a guy and hope that the quarterback you want is, which would be Deshaun Watson, or Aaron Rodgers, both for Denver, same thing,
yeah.
That you put someone in there that those guys aren't like, no.
Don't you think, you can't really wait this long, but you almost kind of have to NBA style it a little bit when you're going with specifically Watson, Rodgers, Wilson. Nobody else you'd do it for other than like Brady, Mahomes.
Right.
But guys who are available, those three, not that they're picking the head coach, but they would have a ton of influence on who the head coach is. So if you do it in the wrong order, now you don't want to wait until February or March to hire your head coach.
Right.
But that's at the same time, you don't want to hire the wrong guy and then have that be the reason why you don't get Aaron Rodgers.
And that's why.
So that's tough.
And you know what? And that's why I wonder if maybe someone like Eric Bieniemy automatically becomes a candidate in some of the locales where they're thinking, okay, I might be able to go get this dude. And you mentioned Hackett as well. The harder one to figure out for me is Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't tell you what he wants. When he does, it's passive-aggressively.
He probably wants Davante Adams more than any other head coach.
Well, and that's
more than anything
the thing.
Else possible. Because even there was all the, he and LaFleur's relationship isn't very good. I don't know. They've won a ton of games the last 2 years together, so it's got to be okay.
Then there is also the looming specter of Jim Harbaugh swooping in and grabbing one of these head coaching jobs.
Chicago makes a ton of sense.
Chicago does.
Makes a ton of sense.
He seems like the perfect guy in Vegas.
But see.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, too.
I think Vegas is more in play because Mike Mayock could be like, hey, I'm still just happy to be employed and be in the NFL. I'll listen to you, Jim.
Yeah.
Whereas in Chicago, you're going to get rid of the coach and then the GM, who has not done a great. Like, I think if you're keeping the GM in Chicago, forget Harbaugh. He's going to want it all.
Yeah.
He has the leverage to get it. At least with Mayock, he'd be able to go in and say, I got final say, I'll keep Mayock. Whereas in Chicago, it does make you wonder. That and the fact that, I don't want to sound like an ageist here, but like the owner's like 100 years old. So
yeah, he's up there.
You know, is ownership in Chicago hip to the game, so to speak? Given some of the age and ownership, but
you could tell when Mark Davis he tried to get John Gruden for like 100 years, he finally got him back, and it was like a big splash. And part of it was the personality and everything else. Vegas doesn't want some boring ass coach. They would definitely want Jim Harbaugh,
and he would probably get $12 million a year. That would be
Jim's getting a ton of money if he does come back to the NFL.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get a contract better than Brian Kelly. But what do people sound like in Nevada? Like, I was thinking Brian Kelly with his "my family" trying to sound Southern. Harbaugh would just be like, "I don't care. He's just going to fire everybody." First fire, Deuce Gruden. Out with the strength coach.
See ya.
He's bringing in a Steiner brother because the Harbaughs love the Steiners from the world of wrestling. Lots of other NFL news to get to as well. And don't forget, tomorrow it is Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick on the Greg Hill Show. Shaq Mason and Lawrence Guy on with Gresham Keefe. And Mac Jones on Merlone and Fourier, all a part of Patriots Monday. We will go around the NFL, and believe it or not, there is more NFL news to get to. Shakeups in Pittsburgh, what's going on in Cleveland. How about this name? Not John Gruden, but Jay Gruden might get back into the NFL. All that coming up, final hour, NFL Sunday next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.